This is the part of the show where we thank the ice cream truck drivers. Thank you so much, ice cream truck drivers.
Toot toot.
Let's see. It's a brand new month, so we don't have any new names yet. But thank you so much to everybody who goes over to preachingfun.com and signs up to be an ice cream truck driver.
This might be episode 1100.
Oh, yeah?
Depending on how we're airing these episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're airing episodes crazy right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe happy 1100.
Let's just say this is episode 1100.
Happy 1100!
Close enough for horseshoes and hand grenades.
If you want to be an ice cream truck driver and deliver that sweet, sweet 1100 episode straight...
Vacation starts with VA. Whether you're feeling beachy, mountainy, or every-y in between, you'll find all that you love all in one trip to Virginia. Start yours at virginia.org.
Straight to people's fucking ear holes. Head over to preachingfun.com. Sign up to be an ice cream truck driver. Who knows? The life you save may be your own.
Don't forget, that's 1,100 non-paywalled episodes. You guys are the ones who helped keep that to be the case. Let us provide all this content gratis. And we thank you all, every patron, for it. Thank you so much, guys.
Value.
And now we are going to reenact all 1,100 episodes.
Here we go.
Hey, Johnny, do you want to go to an ice cream social?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Great, let's go.
Paul, your dad was a priest. Your mom was a nun.
Yeah, your mom is not here anymore.
As of recording this episode, my mom is fine.
Taking you from Louisiana.
Yeah.
It's time for Matt Mattingly's Ice Cream Social. Sitting across from me is Paul Mattingly.
Across from me, that's Mr. Matt Donnelly.
I'm a nod to Dallas Jacob, the audio guy.
Oh, I love that guy. We're preaching fun.
Yeah, we got the episodes 1 through 5.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Yeah,
that's
pretty good coverage there.
Moving on.
Yeah. So, because basically we've recorded 2 episodes for bank episode purposes, and we were originally going to air 1 episode that we banked, but we didn't know it was 1,100. Recording this episode, this can be 1,100, and that could be episode 1101.
Okay.
Production meeting.
Great.
We nailed it. Don't even play the jam. We're moving on.
No. Well, we didn't have the production meeting jingle until later in the catalog anyway.
Right.
So we're still at episode five right now.
What kind of madness would that be?
Yeah. I don't even know if Justin's listening to us yet.
No.
Continuity, for fuck's sake.
But, guys, I saved seats for you. I did not see you at Little Mermaid Junior over at David Cox Elementary School.
I did get to see some of the video from it. Your wife showed me some video. And, boy, did I enjoy that a lot.
I think Little Mermaid is important to play for children.
Yeah.
I think especially the ones that are born girls, the daughters.
Uh-huh.
If you fall in love with a guy,
yes,
you should sacrifice your greatest talent and try to get by in your looks for 3 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what you should do. Get by in your looks. That's the way
and
to
rope
them. And
completely modify your body.
Right.
Completely modify your body. Get by in your looks.
I would argue that she didn't sacrifice her greatest talent. In fact, one of the songs, I think she just says something that's completely wrong. She says, flipping your fins, you won't get too far.
Yeah.
As it turns out, if you're in the water, flipping your fins, you get very far.
Very far.
Yeah.
She's just uneducated.
I would say that her greatest talent was swimming
right.
and living in a giant city underwater.
Right.
But those are two really big talents.
Yeah.
She's a fine singer.
Did you guys ever read the actual fable, the Hans Christian Andersen fable that story is based on? So it turns out there's a woman who washes up on shore, mm-hmm. and this guy is walking by on the beach, and he sees this woman on shore. She has no legs, no arms. She's lying on the shore and she's weeping. And the guy comes up to her on the beach and he says, "What's wrong?" And she says, I've sadly never had anyone truly love me. Never even had a hug." And the guy reaches down and just hugs her. And she says, "Oh my God, you're so kind. Thank you. Thank you." And he goes on about his merry way. The next day, he's jogging again, and she's still hanging out on the beach. And she's crying again. She's crying.
That's terrible.
Sure enough, and the guy stops by and he says, "I'm so sorry. What's wrong?" He says, "Oh, no one's ever kissed me." And he says, well, let me fix that right up for you. Gives her a big old smooch.
Oh, just smooches her.
Yep.
Good for him.
Finally, the next day, he's jogging by.
It has
by.
To be another day. This yeah, yeah. could have been one conversation.
No, it's, had to be not, it's not like that. It's 3 days.
So far, it seems like it could be an email.
Well, and she's still on the beach and still in the same place because what else is she going to do?
No.
She can't go anywhere.
No. Pretty much. So she has a towel. She has like a beach towel of all things. Weird.
Oh.
But the guy comes up and he's like, oh no, she's crying again.
Yeah, yeah. Poor gal.
Yeah. She's having a tough time.
Guess what she says?
What?
I bet she says she's never been fucked.
She says, no one's ever made love to me.
Oh, yeah. she said it classier.
No one's ever made love to me.
No, she's
classy. The guy picks her up. And he throws her into the ocean, and he says, now you're fucked. Yeah.
There you go.
That's why I thought she had to say fucked for the turn of phrase.
No, right. She says, no one's ever made love to me.
Right.
And then he says, now you're fucked.
And then she was just floating there, and she had to change her name to Bob.
Yep.
Bob's your uncle. And that's where the story comes from.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
That's right.
And that's the fable that The Little Mermaid is based on.
Yep.
And by God, trans rights.
Yes,
sure.
The floating woman is Bob's your uncle.
That's right.
Damn right.
So all that.
Realistically, though, that's not the fable that Little Mermaid is based on. The fable that Little Mermaid is based on is, of course, the Tom Hanks movie Splash.
But the Little Mermaid, I haven't read it either, but the mermaid dies.
She cuts her legs off. I don't remember if she dies.
Does she cut her legs off?
Yeah, there's like legs, body parts being cut off.
She dies.
Maybe
in
I'm
the
confusing
fable.
It a little bit with Cinderella. She might die. I mean, it's been since I was a kid.
Yeah, she dies in the fable. From what
I know, like
remember.
Cinderella, the sisters are cutting parts of their feet off to get into the shoes.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. It's a little more. It's darker, right? Yeah.
It's a bit gruesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, they're cutting off the teeth of the feet to just try and squeeze there.
Yeah, we're not going back to that. That was weeks ago.
What?
Paul's trying to bring back his teeth of the feet.
Oh, God.
Whatever.
So, anyway, you think some lessons were learned by these kids in these
yes.
in this play?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do you think the lessons were learned?
Multiple companies in this town throw a lot of money at a small school production. That's the first lesson they learned. Actually, the truth is the kids have no clue. Right. This is the third year they've put on a show.
Mm-hmm.
Every year, our friend Richard gets our friends at Spiegel World and other companies to donate a bunch of an embarrassment of riches of equipment. And then our friend Allison and her mom do over-the-top costuming for these things. They do these crazy costumes. And so they're going to grow up and try to do like regular community theater and then be like, why are we just like, why are we all wearing the same shirts and sitting on wooden boxes?
Right.
Where's all the production?
Why doesn't this volunteer director that is doing our community theater production, why isn't she also directing the show that just opened at the Orleans at the same time? Your wife is directing it. And I mean, so they have a professional Broadway caliber director directing their school production of The Little Mermaid.
Are you essentially saying, Matt, that youth theater is wasted on the young?
No, I mean, look, these kids love doing it, you know.
I'm sure.
I think it's a really cool experience. But I do always laugh at like how we're in this like multi-purpose room for like, you know, it's a regular school. And all of a sudden, there's this crazy. Everyone has everyone has over the ear mics.
Yeah,
everybody's got these crazy lighting.
And there's somebody competent operating them.
Yeah, there's somebody competent like going through all the cues.
Yeah.
And all this other stuff. And it's both hilarious and crazy and whatever.
Your wife and I were talking about the Little Mermaid show. I mean, everybody's talking about it. So, I mean, we were just.
Talk of the town. What's I'm laughing? Because if we're in any other town, this would be like a news event.
Oh, yeah.
Like this crazy ass production keeps happening at this little school. But in Vegas, it's just like, it's like trying to. I didn't text Johnny Katz to come by, but I think it would have been funny if our little school got the coverage it gets for putting on this ridiculous production.
Yeah. We were talking about it, and she was telling me about your youngest child who apparently announced sometime after the show had happened that next year for the school play, he wants to be one of the leads.
Well, this is always that hard part, right?
Yeah.
So,
because your oldest son was one of the leads.
Was one of the leads.
Your oldest
son
was Crabman.
Was Sebastian.
Yep. Really?
Which early on, yes. And early on, I said, we're not doing an accent, right?
He's not doing the Jamaican.
And some creators were like,
Jamaican me crazy.
He has to do the accent. I said,
I agree with them.
As a parent who's gonna be subject to his kid watching it later on in life, I'd rather answer, why didn't you let me do an accent, than why did you let me do an accent?
It's an easier conversation.
It's an easier conversation to be like, I held you back. You could have been doing a Jamaican accent.
There's a safe space.
There's plenty of footage of your dad on YouTube doing Jamaican accents during reggae and Scene Three Ways.
Between Sebastian and Jar Jar Binks where he can land okay.
I would argue that's not a huge space to land in, but sure.
That's a tight landing to stick, but he could do it. No, I think you probably made the right call not going accent.
So what accent did he use?
He used
Swahili
Zimbabwe.
Click. Good. Swahili click.
Good. Good. Smart.
He did a New York Brooklyn.
Yeah.
No,
he did wear the big long dreadlocks though, right?
Hey, I'm under the sea over here.
I'm swimming here.
Hey, I'm swimming over here.
Hey, Ariel, what's going on, man? You talking shit to your dad? What the hell, man? You're going to get me kicked out of the Undersea Kingdom. That's not cool, Ariel. No way.
He's just Cheech.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Ariel, eh? A lot of fish swimming about.
You know where they have good fish? The Tim Hortons.
Boy, you betcha. Yeah, okay.
You go up and talk to those humans, you're going to be in the penalty box, yeah?
No. Yeah.
Don't be a hoser, Ariel.
Oh, don't you know? In Fargo, we always live under the sea. Of kindness.
The seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake. You dream about going up there. That's a big mistake.
Oh, you know what I didn't say over there? I said you better not kiss the girl.
Full Creole.
Which changes that chef scene tremendously with this spicy gumbo.
Le poisson.
No, yeah, so this is my youngest, who, by the way, like when he was like in kindergarten, was mad that he wasn't Beast. Like,
yes.
Cass is one of the lead roles then.
And I was with him on that.
I hear you.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and it's very it's interesting, right? Because, again, I don't come from a showbiz family, and my wife does. So my wife, she sometimes calls her mom by her first name still.
Okay.
Even in conversation, because when she was a teenager, her mom was directing a production of Pippin.
Okay.
And she got to be in it. And her mom said, you do not call me mom.
Yeah.
When I'm here, I am, you know, the director.
Yeah.
You just call me by my name like everybody
refer
else
refer to
does.
Me as Cheryl Teagues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You will call me your highness, like I make the rest of the cast call me.
Call me Director DeMille.
Yeah. And and so there is this thing of that my wife is trying to foster a certain sense of professionalism in the entire cast, and of course amongst her children as well. And so it was a tough conversation to be like, no, you're not gonna be Beast when you're, you know, first grade or whatever. Yeah. This is not the way it goes in life.
Because this is like the full elementary school.
Goes through fifth grade.
Yeah.
Goes through fifth grade. And so they're gonna prioritize the top fourth and fifth graders. But yes, indeed, my son my youngest will be graduating into fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, he could be looking for a heftier part.
Yeah. I mean, we were laughing about it, not because of his age, but because of his proclivity to maybe not do the work at home.
It reminded me of when I used to help my brother do basketball drills.
Okay.
And my brother, who was given multiple Division I scholarship offers, mm-hmm. even played professionally in Italy.
Yep.
And we would do drills. And in return, sometimes he would let me run the drills. He would run the drills for me.
Okay.
So that I could also become a better basketball player.
Yeah.
And I made reference to trying to play, if I went to a Division III college, maybe I'd try to play on that team.
Ah, yeah, sure.
And of course, I couldn't play Division I basketball.
But that would be silly.
I work on basketball all the time with you all the time. I feel like I'm pretty good. I know the game.
Yeah.
And the look and the laughter that my brother gave me when I told him about possibly playing Division III, he goes, what? Where? How are you going to do that? And I was like, motherfucker, I'm out here putting in the work with you.
Name a Division III school. What's a school that is Division III?
It's Kutztown.
Okay,
Kutztown
great.
University in Pennsylvania.
There you go.
Yeah, something like that. Montclair State.
There you go.
Was not a Division I school with sports. But basically, it was like, yes, you're next to me. We're putting in the work. You know what it's like for a Division I athlete to put in work. There's still a good deal of difference between the work I'm putting in and the work you're putting in, and our athletic abilities,
right.
Our heights, little things like that factor into whether
sure.
I get to play basketball. And so my oldest is like a real go-getter. He's a real, like, he will rehearse on his own. He
right.
practices soccer on his own. He just goes after stuff or whatever. And then this year, indeed, Sebastian, it's a layup of a role.
Yeah.
You get to comic relief. You get to suffer. You get to – there's a whole lot of stuff.
And I believe from what your youngest is seeing, you also get a lot of attention from a lot of people after it's done.
I told my oldest privately, not in front of everyone, but I said, you know, it's fun.
You're the best.
I said, normally, of course, as your parent, you want. I'm going to make sure that I cheer loud so that you can hear me cheering for you when you bow. I thought one of the coolest things happens is that the whole audience love you so much that you could not hear me cheer for you.
Nice.
They were all doing the extra big cheer for him at the end. And I've seen this real production. The whole role of Sebastian, it's written to steal the show.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like this came out of
the Disney. The Disney musicals, the Disney Broadway musicals, they have a formula. And I mean, it's taken directly out of the movies, but it's even more so in the stage productions. You have the kind of side characters that are the comic relief in the movie. They become the scene stealing favorites, the crowd favorites.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, Timon and Pumbaa in Lion King.
Right.
You know, that
Iago and Aladdin.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. Yeah, but you have all of these things.
That's it. They'll kill your parents and give you an adorable best friend.
That's right.
What they'll do for you. That's what Disney will do for you.
Thank you, Disney.
And I said, look, Keely, you're literally playing a spineless character
whose
job is to try to make everyone happy all the time.
Yeah.
So, of course, people love you. No, I didn't say that. But, no, indeed, he really enjoyed himself.
You do a flawless Jamaican accent.
And then everyone afterward was very complimentary.
Sure.
To me, being like, your child, so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, but of course, as they gesture to Sarah. And
right.
I,
oh.
We do not.
Oh, it's funny. For a second, I thought you were saying that they only gestured to Sarah.
Oh, which is probably what they meant. Oh, you're here too, Matt.
Yeah.
But I was like, we're not little stage parents.
Yeah.
We don't
She's
do
not
it.
Tiger mom.
As is evidence.
Yeah.
Right, as is evidence by your youngest.
Right. He literally said, like, at one point I was like, do you want to even do this? We had a chat about, like, not even doing the show.
Yeah.
I was like, if you want to do it, don't do it. The only problem was that his birthday was on the same weekend as the production.
Oh, yeah.
He literally was at one point, like, just really not enjoying doing rehearsals and putting in the work, just didn't want to be
right.
there.
And Which, said, for a big character, you just have to do more of that. I mean, just tossing that out there.
Well, like, you're getting
a bigger role. No. The youngest was in the
ensemble.
Chorus.
Ensemble. Oh. Dressed up as a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah.
It was background of all the different numbers.
Was he fish?
At one point, he was a seagull. And that was where he was living in it. He loved being a seagull.
Good.
Living in that number. And the fact is actually that my youngest is a great dancer. And so
okay.
when he gets choreography, he's actually really spot on. And I did enjoy watching him do the ensemble numbers.
Nice.
And it's like, I wish he would like want to take a dance class. He does not.
Hillier but, Livingston Seagull.
Yeah, Paul's letting out some things there. Normally, I don't try to put my kids' names out there on the podcast, not because I know you don't know them already. It's just that, in hindsight, we're just embarrassed that we named them Uday and Kuse.
That's it.
But,
And by the way, they knew about the original Uday and Kuse when they named them. They're not named after them, per se, but they were aware of the original, too. If you don't get that reference, Google it.
Spider hole.
Prepare to be horrified.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Google those names and the word spider hole.
They didn't make it to the spider hole.
No,
yeah,
they didn't.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
That was Daddy was in there.
Yeah, yeah. But
whose name was Matt?
Yeah. But yes, and I do think that my youngest arbitrarily made a decision to say, that attention looks fun.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's your wife and I, when we were talking about it, that's what I said. I was like, he's seeing the attention that older brother's getting from this. He wants that attention.
Which is what every child who wants to get into theater does.
Of course.
You know, so this is not like, my silly, you know, whatever.
Right.
It's every child is like, boy, would I like to be on stage singing and dancing and getting attention.
Receiving adulation.
Receiving adulation, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, yeah. It was a balance,
right?
For sure, to balance the ego of my child, the younger child, watching his older brother really crush and steal a show. That's where it's hard as a parent to juggle that kind of a thing. But at the end of the day, the real credit, the real genius, is my wife, because she found a way to make cuts in that show. For you to tell the whole story in 55 minutes.
Wow.
That's the hero we all need.
In the regular version of Under the Sea, the Broadway version, it's like Masquerade. It's like 15 minutes with kinds of long. Crazy. It was two verses, two choruses, ba-dum-bum-bum.
Yeah.
Done. every song had two verses max to it. Just...
Did they have the Heelys? Did any of the kids do the Heely skates?
No, we didn't know Heely skates. Yeah, yeah. Good. Whatever. No, no. Because we're still in like a multi-purpose room. We're performing on stairs.
Yeah.
It's not like a... They did a great job. I mean, they did a cool job of staging and using, you know, fabric to create the ocean and all this other cool stuff. It was really, really, really well done. But the key was...
Look at us. We're talking about it.
55 minutes. That was like... Mike is like, you're going to come to all of them? I was like, yep. All of them.
Every single.
No matter what.
How many shows are there?
there was three total I could go to.
You're like, I got 3 hours I can carve out of my month.
I got it. No problem.
Yep. For my children, I'll carve 3 hours out of my month.
My children. If you were doing a two-hour show, maybe I'll just come to closing night.
Right.
No, of course not. Any parent knows.
You know, I'm not going to come to closing night.
You got to. If you can avoid, every parent knows by high school, certainly. Yes. If you can avoid closing night, do it. If you can go to like four of the performances and not be a part of the, hold on, before it's our last night before everyone goes.
We got to thank people.
We all chipped in.
Yeah.
And we got some inside joke plate that will go over here to this person you don't care about.
Yep. And in a few years, they're going to realize that it's on their shelf and they're going to throw it away then.
Hey, give it up. No, they tricked, like it seemed like it was gonna be like a quick casual photo, but it was actually a full cast photo, and boom, it was printed and then signed by the entire cast, given to my wife and Richard. So my wife was in tears.
Well done.
Yes. Very good job.
That's beautiful. Yes.
Weeping. It was. It was.
The last time I went to a children's anything, we were in Texas and our niece was dancing in a dance recital.
Oh boy.
Have you ever gone to a dance recital?
One.
I mean, the worst part about it, everyone is suffering equally.
Everyone's suffering equally. All people can think about is the same thing. Wow, did this company clean up?
Right.
Wow, did they make a lot of money?
Yeah, yeah.
Getting all of these classes to showcase on one day.
Yep.
And just have one giant big showcase.
Yeah.
So everyone can feel important. And you're like, God, this school fucking took my
dough. We were there for 2.5 hours. And they do it. They do it on fucking purpose.
Yeah.
We were there for 2.5 hours, unless they're doing The Little Mermaid, then they do it on porpoise. But
we're
there for 2.5 hours.
Now you're fucked.
That's a dolphin safe joke, everybody.
It is. It is. Fuck the tuna, though. So we're there for 2.5 hours, and our niece is in like three numbers. Do they put those three numbers back to back to back? Of course not.
No.
There's a good 45 minutes between each one while other people's kids are up dancing.
And by the third number, the kids don't even care anymore.
No.
They're like, I want to go home. How long till we're on to the third number? Because I want to go home.
And the dance teachers come out and they talk and they tell you about each of the kids and how they worked hard on this number. This number was really challenging, but they got through it and they did this. And holy shit, we don't care. Like, I'm here because we're in town and my niece has a dance recital. She was like six at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she, so she's very excited that Aunt SJ and Uncle Jacob are there, you know, because we don't make it to these types of things. And so she's excited. We take pictures with her. It's all very sweet and everything. My wife is, of course, excited because she's a dancer and her niece is dancing now. And that's great. And every single person in the room is just looking around going like, yeah, I'm going to spend the next hour and a half, I guess, watching other people's kids dance. And then I'm going to see my kid do a dance number.
Yeah.
And if you think I don't care about the other people's kids' dance numbers, secret is I don't care about my kid's dance number either.
Yeah. I care equally.
Yeah. I hate it so much.
Going to Fridays after congratulating her. That's what I care about.
Yeah. We're going to get a nice hot fudge sundae. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So in the original Little Mermaid, she just waits in the bushes and watch them get saved by some other girls.
Oh.
Yeah. And then she does get legs, but they cause pain, like walking on sharp knives.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. The sea witch doesn't make her sing gloriously into a shell. She cuts out her tongue.
Okay.
Let's see. Just looking at a couple other things here. The prince actually eventually marries the girl who saves him from the temple.
Oh.
And the little mermaid heartbreaks, knowing now her fate is sealed. Yeah. So that's a whole bit that's not just not in there.
Different.
Oh, you didn't see this part though. In the original one, the Sebastian the Crab does use a Jamaican accent.
Oh, really?
And it was very offensive.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, else uses Jamaican accents all the time, whether they're called for or not. And that's the following sponsor.
Today's show, Matt and Madeline's Ice Cream Social, is brought to you. Oh no! Did I close that window already, guys? What the hell?
It's like it's the first time we've done this.
It's brought to you by Two in the Nook, One in the Cranny English Muffins. That's from Frozen Cusser. That's from 2024.
Great.
Hey, it's a muffin, isn't it? Yeah. You hungry, love? Eh? You want one?
I could eat.
Yeah, you want one, do
sure.
you? There you go. Yeah.
Ow!
Yeah, that's right.
Excuse me?
Here's another.
What? Ow!
Excuse you.
Why are you doing that?
Turning your arsehole into a toaster, aren't I? Yeah.
Enter Hey Scoops at checkout.
This is where my child was my child.
Okay.
So.
Oldest child or youngest child?
Oldest child. He's getting a lot of direction, you know, his wife directed him, all this other stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I'm watching the show three times in a row, right? So one line he's delivering, it's with what's the seagull called? Scuttle. Scuttle.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Scuttle, when you watch him on shore.
If you had given me the rest of the show to figure out what the name of that seagull was, there's not a chance in hell I would have gotten there.
So Scuttle... Is the big bit is you look different. Have you been using the dingle hopper? I can't put my place my foot on it or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Just standing on Ariel's new legs.
Got it.
And so the Sebastian's line is legs. It's a legs, you idiot. And then goes on with the next line.
Okay.
And he delivered that with that kind of like fervor or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, here's your next line. You kind of take it up a notch and you're kind of yelling too. It's just kind of like you're just yelling. So
yeah.
Why don't we try a little more low key on the legs, you idiot. Let the you idiot just fly out of your mouth. Don't even pay it no mind. A little deadpan on it. You want to try that for me?
Also, knowing your son really likes to be given permission to yell idiot at people.
Well, he's yelling you idiot, and I felt like it was coming off a little harsh.
Yeah.
We do this with improv, right? There's no incongruity there. If you're saying,
you need the
you
steps.
Asshole.
You need stair steps
of a
level. Yeah.
And if you hit that top energy, that's where you live.
Yeah.
Right.
Because anything less than that then comes off as like, meh. So give yourself some room to keep going.
Sure.
Yeah. So he decides him saying you idiot without yelling might actually come off too harsh. He makes up his own mind about this.
Oh, okay.
He's not talked to me about this at all. He says yes to me.
So he feels that like saying you idiot like under his breath or something like that might be a little too real, perhaps.
Right. That's what he felt.
Okay.
And so... he just straight up started ad-libbing. Just straight up on stage. We're just going, legs. It's legs. I mean, legs. Legs. Like that.
He's doing the humina humina.
He's getting these big laughs. But.
Is it in the show or in rehearsal?
In the show.
Great.
just goes for it. And I was like, oh my God, I've created a monster. He's just ad-libbing and doing a bunch of bits.
He's got a cigar. Walk here. Has legs, you idiot.
Yeah. Let me just draw this for you.
Well, she got legs. She used to have fins. Now she's got legs. Why do you?
Before, fins, after, legs.
Nah.
He's getting laughs. And then
let me get the ganja.
This is the most valuable lesson of all. Then pregnant pause. Because you idiot is the cue line.
Right.
For Flounder's next line.
And so the other kid is just waiting.
Just waiting to hear you idiot. And yeah. He's just going on and on. So there's no point for that person to jump in. He doesn't know. So big laughs.
Yep.
Followed by dead air.
Good.
Followed by total dead pause and then awkward pickup of the thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, now I really am going to have to do like if you're going to be my son.
If you're going to improv it.
No matter how much you improv, you have to go back to that cue line.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that the other person knows to pick up.
Got to hand the baton off properly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that has happened quite a few times in Absent. There are moments where it's like, there's a cue line that everybody's waiting on. And the host is just going off and doing
I'm
all
sure
the stuff that they do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And every so often, you see the host just kind of look up, maybe look over at me, look over at the stage manager or anything, like, We gonna keep going? Oh, you're waiting on me, aren't you? Here's the cue line.
Hilarious.
I was gonna say Flounder and Vinny Grasso could have a conversation of waiting for Donnelly's to finish their bits before they get to the cue line.
Maybe a support meeting.
As I tended to go off the rails on Foolers. But I always try to go back to my cue line. I always try to go back to the cue line.
Yeah.
But Vinny Sons would be so thrown by where I went that he was not, even the cue line wasn't helping him.
Ah.
And that was my bad.
So did you talk to him about the cue line?
I did.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, listen, if you're going to ad lib, you got to make sure you're going back to the cue line, the cue line, or talking to your scene partner to make sure they know to pick up the thing. He's like, oh, yeah, I should have done that. He just was like, no problem. Check, check.
Hilarious. On it.
Hilarious. Have created a monster.
Oh, that's going to be horrible.
It is. He was living in his numbers, and it was great.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
That's
it
wonderful.
Was really fun. Yeah. I asked him, when the show was over, you miss doing the show? He goes, yes, I wish we were doing it tonight. I wish we were doing it every night. I wish we were just doing the show all the time. I love going to the show and singing and dancing and doing the show.
How do you feel about this? How do you feel that, let's say,
yes,
for the sake of this conversation, that your son continues on this artsy path? How do you feel about that? You're an artist. Your wife is an artist. How do you feel about that?
It's a tough call.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't even, like right now I'm, making a living with magic and podcasting are both offshoots of trying to be a successful actor and writer.
Right.
Right.
Right. And now, not burdening myself with that, not trying to be an actor and not trying to be a writer.
Not going to auditions all the time.
Not going to auditions. Not writing a bunch of stuff that might not, may or may not get read.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Feels great.
Yeah.
Feels really good. And that's why we secretly brought him to like every circus show and everything like that. We're like, if he falls in love with a circus act, like, I don't mind that. Although, you can talk to circus parents, the body, it's actually the physical health.
Yeah.
It's just like an athlete. It's like you worry about their physical health.
I know multiple people in their early 20s who have already gone through multiple surgeries.
Right.
And like major surgeries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just to fix like repetitive
tendons
things.
And
yeah,
ligaments.
All that stuff. It gets rough.
So I might be
Of course, you retire when you're 30.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's that too.
I might just be wrong, but we'll see. But and on the other hand, I knew so little when I was trying to be an actor coming out of my family and my neighborhood in Jersey that there's a part of you goes like, oh, cool. I could actually help you.
Yeah.
If you were to go after it, to go about it in a different way than I did.
Yeah.
You know, which was like, just keep being so brilliant that people have to make you a star. It's maybe not the smartest way to go about trying to get hired.
But it worked. Oh, it didn't.
No, Jacob, it didn't.
Oh, interesting. Sorry, I thought we were talking about Brooke Shields.
Well, and also when we were
gorgeous,
coming up.
That's different.
When we were coming up in that time too, you know, both of us out there striking out on our own, you know, not knowing shit, like just like exactly like you said. But even 15 years ago, seems to me that there were paths that now to me seem so obfuscated. Like there's not even money for roads. Forget about the arts. Like, we can't even pay to fix potholes.
Well, I remember, like, even with my improv group, like, we had a popular Friday and Saturday night show, mm-hmm. and we had saved up a bunch of money, mm-hmm. and we were like, we can open up our own theater. We can open
When you say you'd saved up a bunch of money, how much money are we talking about?
We had
tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands? Where are we at?
We'd saved up around 15 grand.
Okay. That's a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Especially 20 years ago.
To find us a storefront. Yeah.
Especially for an improv troupe.
Right.
Yeah. That's a huge amount of money. Certainly.
And there was eight of us in the group, plus our manager, Brian.
Great.
Right? And so then we're like, oh my gosh, we're doing it. We've made the goal. We're saving up. We're looking at spaces.
Yep.
We're looking at, we're talking to real estate agents. And then we also started sitting down to be like, great, so what does it mean for all of us to make a living teaching and performing at this thing? And then we started doing the math of like, we need to afford rent, but then how much money do we make? And as soon as we started to look at the money it would take on top of making rent,
yeah,
on top of covering our bills, then to start dividing that by 9.
Yeah.
Yep.
Was like instantly like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, and eventually that money went to other things and slowly back to us in different ways.
Sure.
And we made a little bit, we paid ourselves and that kind of stuff. But again, dividing that by 9, it wasn't like a big payday either.
Right.
We didn't do it as one lump payday, but we just were like, maybe we won't open a theater. You know? And it just was like, oh, and then even trying to think about like going to cruise ships and stuff like that. Like as soon as like, yes, all of my mojo went into wanting our comedy group to be as respected as the state.
Yes.
As Monty
UCB,
Python.
Right.
Yeah.
UCB. And then anytime you thought about the math on what it would take to make that possible.
Right.
We're like, shit.
And I mean, the back end of that too is like you have Monty Python. They all just hate each other now.
Right.
The surviving members just, like, they don't speak to each other.
Right.
If you, it breaks my fucking heart, too.
I know.
Like, and you guys, too. You grew up with Monty Python. I got to work with them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, seeing them on social media now, seeing, like, Eric and John just going after each other. And, I mean, it fucking hurts because, like, these people were pivotal.
Yes.
In so many ways, not just in our lives, but in like the direction of American and British comedy. They changed things for the better in most cases, and now they just don't speak to each other, and that's hugely because of the business of it.
I follow Eric very closely on Twitter, and I've seen him go through multiple conversations with fans about, he's like, "Hey, you know, I still work. I still have to work. Like, yeah, we changed the landscape of comedy, but that don't pay bills."
Yeah, the royalties of Life of Brian aren't the same as
No. Like Spamalot helps, but it's not.
Right.
He's not like in the lap of luxury, kicking back with a margarita. He's still actively working.
Oh yeah,
you know, and he's in his 70s or 80s. You know, he's hustling.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just nuts. And so certainly the first thing I would just start to lend my child should they want to do it would be to talk about what do you want to make?
Yeah.
You know, like how much money do you think it will take for you to be okay with doing this?
Yeah.
You know? Because my ambitions were low. You know.
Yeah.
Make a living.
Yeah. And and all of a sudden you got the money that you dreamed of and you're like,
right.
Oh, this doesn't help at all.
Yeah.
this doesn't help me do anything.
Oh, I make more money now than I ever thought I would make doing any kind of artistic endeavors.
Yeah,
when I was a kid, even like doing it and planning to be that, you know, planning to be in many cases what I am now, you know, as a child, it was never a money thing. And now I make more money than I ever thought I would, and certainly still is not enough. Definitely not.
And that's the way it always goes, and everything like that. But no, I think you know, I think I'd be.
It's like a great poet said: "More money, more problems."
That's right. That was Angela Lansbury.
It was.
Mm-hmm. But
episode 8 of Murder, She Wrote.
No, I think that's things like I think, and there's something like okay. There's a balance I have in my head where I'm like, you're young.
Yeah.
And you're just doing school shows.
Yeah.
It's awesome. You're looking forward to the pizza party at the end.
Yeah.
That's, of course, where it's at. And I don't want to take away from that being that.
And doing the school shows.
I don't
want to
smash that snow globe. Yeah. You know, like, that's going to stay a beautiful, fun memory forever, no matter what you do in life. It will be this beautiful, innocent time. So I don't want to, like, kick that at all.
And but at some point, he may discover that, you know, even as professional an atmosphere as your wife created on the school production, that's not the same as doing a professional show.
Right.
It's everyone is not there. You know, the main goal for doing a school play is everybody's having a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
Putting on an excellent show isn't even in the top five goals.
Right,
realistically.
They're just going to feel good for getting through it. It's a confidence builder.
It's like everybody there, parents, directors, kids, everyone, they all have a list of goals, and putting on the best show possible, not the top goal.
No.
anyone's list. No. Nor should it be.
And this already popped up with my nephew, Logan, who's out in L.A., you know, who's, if you check out his Instagram, he's got quite a following.
Mm-hmm.
But this, he was going to go to a four-year school in Chicago. And I was begging my brother and my sister-in-law to, like, can you get him to New York or L.A.?
Yeah.
As a dancer, like, just get him closer to where the work is or whatever. And then he, on his own, figured out that he wanted to go to this one-year conservatory.
Yeah.
That was an incredibly intense dance training taught by working choreographers.
Perfect.
Taught by people who get hired now to do stuff now.
Yeah.
And they rotate in and rotate out.
They not only have the experience, they not only have the expertise, they also have active connections in the business.
That's it. And so...
So you're not only learning, you're also networking.
So instead of 4 years in Chicago, it's 2 years with access and connections to choreographers and now in LA with an agent.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of corrective measures.
You leave the program already having... You hit the ground running.
Yes. And that's and it's still fucking hard.
Of course it is.
But that's those kind of corrective measures are things that I'm like, oh, this is what you want. This is what I would encourage to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, if my son were to really be into it, then it's going to go, okay, let's start thinking about New York or LA.
Uh-huh.
And so about who we're going to work with and how we're going to start getting you in front of people's faces, stuff like that.
Or you could start climbing these chairs. And you could just stay in Vegas. You make, you know, few hundred bucks every time you climb these chairs.
Or you could spit a banana into your friend's mouth and they could spit a banana into yours.
Mm-hmm. Somebody unprompted came to me the other day and goes, I just saw an amazing act. And they described bananas to me. And I was so happy it had come full circle enough that it was now being presented back to me like I had no idea, like I had never heard of it.
Or you can take off weird parts of a penguin costume to music.
Yeah. Saw her last night.
And she's great. She's a great act.
Yes.
It's a great act.
That's it. You could be a stripping penguin.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you get paid to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's tough. Even, you know, growing up in Vegas is raising your children here. It's a different deal, and it's a weird deal here.
I was out last night with a woman who is a performer in Vegas, and she is a Vegas kid. She's born and bred in Las Vegas. And talking to her about her experiences, just doing, basically all the stuff that your nephew has been doing, but just doing it in Vegas and doing all this. And she's in a show on the Strip now and everything and does all these things. She's doing well. She's successful and talented. I'm like, this is just the weirdest way to grow up that I've ever even thought about.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Just being a showbiz kid in Las Vegas.
It's weird.
Is just so bizarre. I'll tell you what else is bizarre. And that is the following sponsor.
Today's show, Matt and Manley's Ice Cream Social, is brought to you by No to Order 66 Super Pack from Open Bayou. This is from 2021, so I don't know if it passed or not.
Let's see.
No to Order 66 Super Pack.
Hello. Open Bayou. My name is Joseph Palpatine, and I'm here to tell you that you should actually vote yes for Order 66.
Wait a minute.
It's a Star Wars thing. I Googled it. It's a Star Wars thing.
Vote Order 66. And I assure you that when the time comes, I, Joe Palpatine, will relinquish my power and turn the Senate back over to regional control. But for now, You must give me absolute authority to do anything necessary to keep us out of the trade wars with the Federation troops.
Matt, it's a Star Wars thing.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah,
I like it. It's good.
Vote. He comes to check out.
Yes, on Order 66.
I needed some rocks the other day.
You needed some
rocks? I needed some rocks the other day. Yep, we were doing some landscaping in our backyard. We needed some rocks.
This is not a cocaine reference. This is an actual...
No. I did also need some cocaine. But I also needed some rocks. And we needed white rocks.
Oh!
Yeah. Tonsil stones. Just get a bunch of tonsil stones.
Well, so like I...
Bolivian marching powder?
That's it. That's it. A little Bolivian shale. And so I called over to the nursery. I called over to the plant and rock place that's not too far from us, and said, I need a bunch of rocks. I want the white crushed marble is what I was looking for.
Whoa!
I wanted marble chips, because marble chips they don't heat up a whole lot in the sun, so they'll be in the backyard. I want them to be nice and cool. I want to be able to walk on them. I want the dogs to be able to walk on them, that kind of thing.
And you want people to be surprised by the rocks that you got, even though you're still Jacob from the block?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be surprised by the rocks that I got. I'm still just Jacob from the block.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's end of my list of Jennifer Lopez references. That's all I got.
Yeah, me too.
Ben Affleck.
If you quarry stone and I gave you lots to quarry, would you quarry for me?
Is that a Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah, it's a Jennifer Lopez one too.
Oh, okay.
Selena. So
they didn't
marble.
Have any. They didn't have any of what I wanted at the nursery.
Yeah.
And so I had to go to the Home Depot.
Okay.
Had to go over to the Home Depot to get it there.
And on your way in, there was a girl with no arms and no legs.
Yes.
Oh,
and she said, "I've
happened?
Never been thrown in the ocean."
And then he just had sex with her right there.
And then I just made love to her right there at the parking lot. Oh, it was tender. It was beautiful. It was wonderful.
There, now you're in the ocean.
Yeah. So don't worry, you'll die, and then we'll throw your body in the ocean.
Well, you're not in the ocean, but you're surrounded by semen now.
Ow!
That took a while.
Yeah.
Surround her like a chalk outline.
I mean, like, a lot of Gatorade.
Oh, my God.
I had to get so much Gatorade.
That would be days.
Exhausted.
Days of exhaustive work. And one misfire.
Oh, and the calluses.
Like, oh, the calluses and the misfire.
Oh.
It's taking a while. She's like, really?
I'm working.
Wait a minute. Well, if you'd stop moving, it's been 8 hours, dude.
So I go into the Home Depot lawn and garden area, and they've got bags, 50-pound bags of these rocks that I want. And I go up to the guy at the front. I'm getting a big flatbed cart to start hauling them around on. I've got the truck parked outside. And say, hey, I'm going to buy a ton of these rocks. Literally, I'm going to buy a ton of these rocks. Is there anybody that can help me load them onto off the big shelves onto the cart? You know, what I'm hoping for is like, yeah, let me get the forklift.
Yeah.
And yeah, well,
that's
what
I was imagining.
We'll get to it. Yeah. And he says, nope, I don't have anybody that can help. And I just said, fine. That's fine. I like.
Good luck with your 2,000 pounds of rocks.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Like, I've got some time. I'm just gonna knock it out. Like, I'll load stuff onto this little hand truck here. I'll take them out to the truck. It'll be fine. I'll get it done. No big deal. So I load everything
all at
up.
Once.
Well, I got a really big cart, and I was able to load about. It took me two trips.
You were pushing around 1,000 pounds on a cart?
Yes. And it turns out there is a slight incline between where the rocks are and where the exit is that I was not aware of when I started this process. So, like, I did end up having to get somebody to just help me push the thing up this unperceptible incline.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I was like, oh, shit, this is real heavy. And so I'm pushing
Sisyphus
it out.
Sisyphus at the Home Depot.
Is exactly. This any thought to, like, maybe I'll buy racks tomorrow? Maybe I'll...
Oh, no, because I'm like, it's got to get done. I got to get it done.
Yeah.
So I'm just getting it done. And so I get up to check out...
This is the kind of thing that I would do.
Uh-huh.
And be like, I bet someone knows a smarter way to do this than the way I'm doing it.
Well, I had called around trying to get rocks delivered, because I didn't want to do it this way.
DoorDash.
Yeah, I tried DoorDash.
Uber Eats.
Nobody would
take
it.
The delivery is probably twice the price of the rocks.
The delivery isn't terrible, but they just didn't have it. They didn't have the kind you want.
Oh.
That's right. Yeah, they didn't have what I wanted.
Order El Pollo Loco, I can just add a bag of rocks last second. They'll say, you have 4 minutes, you can add a bag of rocks to your order.
It turns out if you do lots and lots of bags of rocks, then they cancel the order.
They say no. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And then your El Pollo Loco still doesn't show up either.
No.
Yeah. And then you don't have any rocks and you don't have lunch.
I want those tortillas and guac.
I am suddenly very hungry. Yeah. Oh, boy. So, I get back up now. I've got my first cart. I enlisted a kid to just help me push the cart back up to the cashier. And I go, hey, I've got half of what I'm getting here. I'm getting double this amount. So I had two different types of rocks. One like crushed really small and one bigger. Same type of rock though, I guess, but different sizes. So I've got 20 bags of this and 20 bags of this. So let's make it happen.
And the person then saluted you, right?
And he says...
He said, for those with bags of rocks, we salute you!
He says, well, how am I supposed to know that that's really what's on the cart?
Oh!
You lying rock thief?
I was like, well, it is. You can see it. He says, well, yeah, I can see what's on the outside, but it's all piled up in there. I was like, look,
man. Oh, my goodness.
I asked you for help. You could
the same guy?
Same guy.
Oh, what a dickhead.
And I'm like, I asked you for help. You didn't help me. So I went and stacked all this up. If you want to unstack all of this, I suggest you unstack it onto another cart so we don't have to do it again. If you want to do all that and count them, you're welcome to do so. Or you can ring me up and then you can help me load them into my truck and you can count them as we unload them and we can compare the receipt at the end of it. And if there is an accidental extra bag in there, yeah. we'll make good on it. Because, well, no, that's not how it works.
Fuck that guy.
Me.
Oh, boy. I was like,
and so I then.
That's not how it works. Or that's not how you work.
And so I then was getting. I was annoyed.
You just loaded a fucking 1,000 pounds of rocks into a cart.
For the first of three times that day that I was going to end up doing that. Like, I'm already sweaty. I had stopped in the middle of it because our landlord here at the studio had called me to talk to me about some projects that they're doing here at the studio. They need
you to pick up a couple of bags of rocks for them.
Hey, do you have any bags of rocks on you?
I just happen to be shopping for rocks right now.
I'm at the rock place.
Oh, you want little ones or big ones?
Yeah. And he says,
I want cocaine.
That's not how it works here. Yeah. That's not how it works here. And so I said, well, it sounds like you should unload these rocks then so you can scan each bag individually. Or you can scan me for 20 of this one and 20 for this one, and we can go load it up and you can count it. Up to you, man. At that point, I sat down on the stool that was sitting there.
Good.
There was just a stool very conveniently placed near the cash register at the outdoor area there.
What a considerate dickhead. He is like, I know if I'm on register, some people are going to want to sit down and fold their arms. I'll bring a chair over here as well.
Point of order, real quick.
There should be stools and chairs for every cashier in every retail establishment in America. There's no reason cashiers should have to stand all day.
No.
Oh, no. No, he was already sitting.
Okay. I'm just saying, there happened to be a stool. That visual just made me think of that one thing that I believe in very strongly.
I'm fine with cashier sitting. I'm fine with all of that. I'm on board. I'm not as vehement as Paul is about it, but I'm completely on team sit.
Right. Next time I see one not with no place to sit,
I'm gonna punch him.
I will riot.
I'm gonna punch that cashier right in the neck.
Yeah.
It's not
their fault. So I said, like, as I see it, here are your options. And then I popped a squat and let him decide.
Fuck yeah.
And then he punched into his little scanner gun 20 and scanned one thing and punched it in 20 again and scanned another thing and went, okay.
Right.
I said, now then, do you want to help me load him up into the truck? He goes, no, I got to stay here at the cash register. I said, great. I'll be back in a minute. So I went and loaded up that cart, came back, loaded up another cart.
Now, what do you have? Or is this in your truck?
This is in my truck, yeah.
So does your truck have a ton?
Yeah, I can do a ton in the back of it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because another time, didn't you run into problems with buying a bunch of stuff or like it weighed down the back of something? Or is that somebody else's story?
Oh, no, that was a trailer.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, there was a trailer issue with another load for something else.
Yeah.
But okay. Yeah, that did happen.
Okay.
But yeah, no, this was fine as far as the truck loading went. The truck could have handled more easily. The truck handled it like a champ.
There we go. Like a rock.
And so I go back in to get my second load that I've already paid for. Oh,
did you? Yeah.
And then he sees me walking out with
a second load to help finish the chalk outline around.
That's right.
Jennifer Lopez in the front.
I got some Gatorade. Replace those electrolytes. And
now you're encircled in jizz.
And I start walking out with it, and I kind of give a little wave to the guy. Yeah. And there's nobody in line there because it's that single outdoor cash register, like in the garden center. Yeah. It's not a main one.
Yeah.
And so I kind of wave to the guy. He goes, "What? You got to pay for those too?" I said, No, I already paid for them. I paid for them in the first one. This is just the second load because they wouldn't physically all go on the same cart. And so this is the second load of them. I've already paid for them. You didn't tell me that, man.
I feel like it's all I told you.
I really did. I'm sure that I explained this to you very clearly. And so at that point, he's like, "All right, I gotta come look at the stuff in the truck."
Sure do, buddy.
I said, "Great, you can help me unload this stuff and count them all when we're done." And so that's how I finally got him to fucking help me to unload the second set of it. I said, "This motherfucker, you can either refuse to help me or be a dick about it."
Yeah.
I really want to know if this guy is getting some kind of rock incentive. Like, what is his motive? I don't know what the fuck would be anyone's motivation at this point in time to give a rat's dick about whether or not one or two bags of rocks get over or undercounted, unless it's going to be your fucking job. And even then, like, if it is that important, then count the fucking bags like you've been given the option to. Like, if it really is, if it is life or death, I'm going to get fired over this shit, then fucking do it. But if it's not, who the fuck cares?
I'm curious. I think we have people who work at either Home Depots or Lowe's that listen to us.
I'm sure. Yeah. We've gotten write-ins before from people at Home Depot talking about the forklifts and things like that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm curious. Like, I believe this guy primarily he lacks bedside manner.
Yeah.
Right.
I get that he probably can't leave the cash register. Right, he's the only cashier out there, so he doesn't want to leave. But I've dealt with Home Depot before. They have just, like the minimum wage guys that are around.
They might
You just call one of them over, and you're like, "Hey, help this guy unload his truck."
Yeah.
Or whatever.
That's
whatever
what I'm curious about. Yeah. Like, what would be the actual... Because certainly, you loading out 2,000 pounds of rocks...
Yeah.
With no help, it seems a little obnoxious.
Yeah. A little.
But like what, I mean, because Home Depot, this thing is like, it's not like, because if you were at like Star Nursery or something like that, like maybe they're not supposed to do industrial amounts. Like 2,000 pounds is a pretty large amount.
Right.
But
yeah, it could easily be something that red flags. I mean, I don't know if crushed up marble can be used in some kind of nefarious recipe. Who the fuck knows? Right? Maybe you're setting off some kind of Homeland Security whistles.
I read the other day that apparently a whole bunch of Lunchables have been recalled because they were filled with crushed up marble.
That's true.
That makes sense.
That's the headline that I read on TikTok.
You know what I did see on TikTok?
In the Lunchables?
Yeah.
They flicked jacks at it.
Oh
smart. Cat's eye.
Right there.
You know what I did see on fucking TikTok, though, was... talking about how back in the day you'd go to these hardware places and you could reliably find someone who knew something about something.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah.
No, really. There were actual craftsmen that were often employed in these places that had experience doing work. Now you might go to the place and be like, "Hey, I need to know about this lumber," and be like, "Well, I'm a plumber guy. You're going to have to,
let me go get Joe.
Jake,
he's the lumber
or whatever."
Guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But apparently, and this is a fairly recent thing that happened, when these things got homogenized and bought out by, shareholding monstrosities yet again,
that's it.
They fired all the craftsmen and then
because
hired
paid more.
Exactly. And then hired hourly people who don't have expertise in these fields and then are stuck trying to scramble to learn on the job when
if
their job has nothing to do with
is,
the craft.
Yeah, they know what aisle the plunger is on. They don't know how to work the plunger.
Exactly. Right, or if your plunger will fit or anything like that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or work the plunger, if you know what I mean.
Yes. And I do.
If you go outside with a plunger and the girl's there with no arms, no legs.
Uh-huh.
Now you're plunged. I was in Home Depot with Ann the other night because she's all about buying all this stuff too right now. She's reformatting the garden and everything. We are buying like big stone things to make a garden path
tablets.
And all this extra stuff. Yeah, big,
to make commandments.
Big stone tablet commandments. We've made our own 10 commandments, which
the
we're
Lord
living by.
God
now.
Has given us 15 commandments.
Ten commandments.
Exactly. But we were in the toilet aisle. And she, of course, redirected me to the right place because I'm always getting lost. But we were specifically looking for seats that had self-contained bidets. And I'd seen these things on Amazon for around $300, right?
Okay.
So it's a contained seat. So you replace the entire apparatus of the upper seat. But
that's
it's not like installing a bidet, which can be wonky when you're putting it on another seat. This is a all-in-one piece, right?
That's what we have at our house. Yeah.
Right. And we slide by the guy. He's like, and we were feeling dejected because we just didn't find what we were looking for. We slide by the guy and he's like, can I help you guys? And I was like, well, we were looking for a single integrated bidet toilet seat. He looked at me like I had two fucking heads.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm so sorry that you, I think first of all, he was
talking
like,
about one of those.
Exactly.
Japanese
you looking for
pussy
a butt,
fountains?
You looking for a butthole washer? You touch your butt when you wash? You know, I was like,
Japanese pussy fountain is the name of this episode.
I mean, it could have been a. That's exactly what he was like. I got that look of you. What do you want? What exactly? But they didn't
remember
have
that episode
any.
Where we talked about the Australian rugby player who was pissing into his own mouth. They called him the bubbler. Yeah. 1,100 episodes.
So he's looking for a Japanese pussy fountain, and they didn't have a Japanese pussy fountain.
You're disgusting. And he took out his own penis and peed in his own mouth.
Basically, it.
No, now, for the most part, every now and then at Home Depot, you'll run into somebody. Like, I've got one buddy at the Home Depot I go to.
Yeah.
He's an older guy, and he's apparently a holdover from the from when they had people who knew what they were doing.
I'm sure a few people did make it through the culling.
And I bet he took a significant pay cut and things like that, or lost benefits or something.
Yep.
His life probably got a little worse.
Uh-huh.
But he knows electrics. So he's my electrician guy when I go there. And I'll go in, and if
What's
I see him
ringtone?
And I'm doing electrical work, it's electric.
Okay, that passes muster. That passes muster. As long as it's not from the Reichstag, great.
Jesus. But yeah, he's my guy I go to. If I'm doing an electrical project that I'm not 100% familiar on, I'll be like, I'm trying to do this, and I'm planning on doing this and this and this.
Yep.
Does that seem right to you?
And he'll
be like, oh, I'd do it this way, and you'll need this, and he'll go grab the thing off the shelf, and yeah.
As long as you keep your asshole dry. I'll help you.
Exactly.
Keep your asshole dry and your shit grounded.
I was like, first of all, I didn't ask for any help, and you're going to just judge me after I ask what I'm looking at? Fuck off.
Yep. That's it. Speaking of judging, I'm going to judge you when you lose right now at Jock versus Nerd.
It's like, I got a hose in my car. I can just jam it up your butthole if you want. Fuck yeah.
There's some hose in my car. There's some hose in my car.
You want a powder puff for your titties too, princess?
Oh, that'd be nice.
There, now you're in a mud.
I would like that, actually. Thank you.
Yeah, that sounds lovely.
I need
we got a scooperty coming at us today from the scooper intendant. The categories are TV porn, movie porn 1, movie porn 2, and video game porn. This is a porn-themed scooperty coming to us today from the superintendent.
As long as it doesn't involve washing my butthole, I'm fine.
A lot of porn, that's surprisingly a through line. I'll start top left. I'll go TV porn for 200. Which of the following is real porn based on TV? Muffy the Vampire Lair or The Wanking Dead?
I mean, in truth, they all have to be true at some capacity.
Right. I will go... Buffy the Vampire Slayer is the older of the properties.
Yeah.
So they've had more time to make that one. I'll go with Muffy the Vampire Lair.
Yes.
It is Muffy the Vampire Lair.
Congratulations. Oh, real quick, just I'm sure the listeners at home can hear. There's some kind of like a marching band training nearby.
Oh, I'll tell you exactly what that is. That is in the next room over from us in the studio here. An artist that we don't have permission to talk about are practicing for a new gig.
That's pretty cool, guys. You're getting to hear
Name Redacted
backstage rehearsal.
That's right.
That's
free.
It.
And deal with it for free as well.
I mean, I'm fine with it. I just want everybody to know that we hear it too.
Yes. Okay. Let's see. Matt, you're up.
I'll do video game porn for 200.
Which of the following is real porn based on a video game? Strokeymon or Mineshaft?
Oh, two good names.
Solid.
I'll go with Strokeymon.
Let's see. It is Strokeymon.
Gotta fuck them all.
Let the record show that Matt and Jacob so far really know their pornography.
That's right. That's right.
Paul.
I'll try movie porn one.
Does Paul know his pornography? Which of the following is a real porn based on a movie? Lawrence of Arabia, Star Wars, Episode 4, A New Hole.
Gosh, they both have to be
they
true.
They both have to exist.
No, Lawrence of Arabia is...
Lawrence of a habeas corpus. It's a legal film.
I think that's too esoteric. I'm going to go with Star Wars, Episode 4, A New Hole.
Let's see. It is Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hole. Paul also really knows his pornography.
Well, just Lawrence of Arabia. No one's
that
buying
has
that
to
porn.
Exist.
No one's buying that porn.
I own it.
I love that the other one exists and is that long of a fucking title.
I'll try movie porn 2 for 200. Which of the following is real porn based on a movie? Everyone I Did Last Summer or Attack on Titanic Tits?
Oh, that's a tough one.
I mean, I let's
one,
see.
One is too subtle and one's too over the top for me to be mainstream porn.
Yeah. I mean, Everyone I Did Last Summer.
Attack on Titan is new. And it's anime.
Oh, it's Attack on Titan. I was trying to figure out why the Titanic was being attacked by tits.
It's Attack on Titan. It's a play on Attack on Titan.
All right, I'll go Everyone I Did Last Summer. Then.
I think you're safe there.
It is Everyone I Did Last Summer.
Yeah. Because, boy, an Attack on Titan, I mean, there are, yeah, okay. Now I see it.
Let's do video game porn.
Let's see, for 400, Daily Devil.
Oh, yes. This is where I'm at my best.
Which of the following is real porn based on a video game? Red Head Redemption or Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time?
These names are so good.
I know which one we're rooting for.
Well, I know which one I want to rent.
Yeah.
Redhead Redemption. That's what I'm going to go with.
Okay. I'm sorry. It's Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
I can't believe that.
My Irish heritage does me in again.
I would have lost that one too, Matt. I would have gone with that one too.
Let's see. Paul, you're up.
That means let's make Redhead Redemption. Let's do it.
I mean, if the title's out there. Movie porn one, please.
Which of the following is real porn based on a movie? Schindler's Fist.
Oh, God.
Schindler's Fist. And Meet Joe Black's Cock.
That was a weird movie to make a weird porn about.
I don't think, yeah.
I feel like that should be Meet Joe's Black Cock.
Well, you know what?
The apostrophe S should be after Joe's, not Black's.
It's two.
You're going to Meet Joe Black's Cock?
Yep.
Even though they named it wrong? It is Meet Joe Black's Cock.
I would have gotten that wrong.
Again. Let the record show Paul Mattingly really knows his pornography.
You just got to think about, you're looking at it on the shelf. And Schindler's Fist, nobody wants to think about the Holocaust when they're masturbating. Not
What's
even in a
art
jokey
on the front
way.
Of that movie sleeve.
No one, Paul. No one.
Okay. Not no one. But I have a certain set of skills. Saving the Jews.
Let's see. It's me. I'll go TV porn for 400. What's the following is real porn based on TV? Evil Head, or Bear Devil?
Good names.
I'm going to go Evil Head, because Bear Devil sounds like it could just be a guy who is the devil dressed up as a bear.
That's true.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Evil Head. It is Evil Head.
Congratulate. I would have lost that one.
That, and I've seen it many times.
I'm losing, yeah.
Let's see. You are losing. You have negative 200. Paul has 600. I have 800. You're in striking distance.
Okay.
There's still a daily double out there, and it's your turn.
I'll go TV porn for 800.
Okay. Which of the following is real porn based on TV? Starsky and Crotch or Dawson's Crack?
See, Paul, these both fail your on-the-shelf scenario.
Yeah.
Crotch is not that erotic. And
nor is Crack.
Butt Crack is not that erotic.
It's going to be Dawson's Crack.
Because everybody wants porn based on James Vanderbeek, peak James Vanderbeek.
Yeah. Peak Beak.
Peak Beak. Peak Beak I'd rather rent.
Peak Beak is a fine porn title.
No, well, here's my thing. The Starsky and Crotch, again, we're looking at TV stuff, right? You want to hear my math? So
yeah.
Starsky and Hutch was TV, but it only got current through the movie revitalization. And it was a comedy, and it was your boy. I mean, again, it right. could be, but that's not. But Dawson's Creek had attractive ladies in it. And I right. think that sells it more.
Okay.
Didn't Starsky and Hutch just have a pimp character, though? Wasn't that Starsky and Hutch?
Huggy Bear, yeah.
Huggy Bear, yeah.
Played by Snoop Dogg.
Crack.
Yeah, Dawson's Crack is correct.
Oh, I was Paul, right. save me. Paul, save me.
Paul.
Paul, save my porn tonight.
Last night, a TV porn saved my life. Video game porn, please.
For 600. Which one is it? The Bitcher. The Bitcher 3 or Pussy Hunt 2, Sonic the Vaghog?
The Bitcher 3, Pussy Hunt, or Sonic the Vaghog. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, it's three options. Never mind. Yeah, the Bitcher, Pussy Hunt, or the Sonic
Bitcher,
the Vaghog.
The Bitcher 3, Pussy Hunt, the is Bitcher, the subtitle of the Bitcher 3.
The Bitcher is part 3. Yeah. Pussy Hunt is part of the Bitcher. It's hard. Porn's hard to read, guys.
It really is. And I usually just rent the porn for the articles.
God, this is tough. This is tough. Sonic has so much weird fandom.
Also, Vaghog.
Vaghog's a really...
Also, that could be a porn spinoff of Welcome Back, Kotter.
Or you know him. He's an old Vaghog.
Yeah. It's just, look at me. It's just me over here with my friends, the Vaghogs.
A bidet? What am I, some kind of Vaghog?
We need an answer, Mr. Mattingly.
Oh, hey there, Mr. Carter. I'm pretty
you
sure...
You Vaghogs!
Up your cunt with the foot I punt. I'm going to say the Witcher, again, that's more famous as a TV show than a video game.
Right.
So I'm going to go Sonic the Vaghog, please.
Let's see. It's Sonic the Vaghog. I would have been upset if that wasn't real.
Yeah, yeah.
It's me. I'll try movie porn 1 for 800.
Get off my lawn, you Vaghogs.
Which of the following is it? Harry Squirter and the Sorcerer Bone, or Harry Pussy and the Sorcerer's Boner?
Oh, I see what's going on.
Yeah. Harry Squirter and the Sorcerer Bone, or Harry Pussy and the Sorcerer's Boner. It's got to be Harry Pussy and the Sorcerer's Boner.
Oh, see, I'd go one.
No, it is. Yeah, you would have been right. Harry Squirter and the Sorcerer's Bone.
Mm-hmm.
Matt.
Squirter sounds more like Potter.
What's the third category?
It's more movie porn. We got movie porn one and movie porn two.
Makes no difference then. All right, then give me movie porn for one of the 600.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to fuck you, Mr. Potter.
The Porn Identity or The Hunt for Red Cocktober starring Jack Off Ryan.
Oh, wow.
Again, those both must exist already.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think more people fetishize.
Is this a movie one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, it just seems like they're both real.
Yeah, they're both they're both very plausible.
You know what? I'm going to pass.
Oh, it passes to Paul. One of us just remembered that we could pass.
How many points is this one for?
600.
600.
Well, that'll tie me back up with Matt if I lose even. My gut is 2.
You going hunt for the red, the hunt for Red Cocktober, yes. Starring Jack Off Ryan? I'm sorry, it's the Porn Identity.
Oh boy. Oh, I got stung on that one. Oh,
I was feeling the same way. I thought more people actually have an attractiveness to the Born Identity.
Yeah.
Than the
Red October is,
movie.
Right. Red October.
Red Cocktober is a layup.
Yeah. Yeah, but it also
Born Identity isn't that much long after Hunt for Red October though.
It's not. But if we think about it, like Red October came out before the era of the porn parody. Before the mass porn parody.
Got it.
You mean the church one? The Catholic church one?
Yeah, before it became, very cheap to make porn is what he's saying.
Paul, you're up. You got TV porn, movie porn, or video game porn?
Video game porn, please.
For 800, which of the following based on a real porn, based video game, you know the thing. Metal Rear Solid or Metal Cock Solid 5, The Pussy Pain. I mean, I hope that's real. That's on the bumper sticker on the back of my car.
Are you really put pussy pain in the title?
I can't. It's got to be one.
Metal Rear Solid?
Yeah.
Let's see. Whew. It is Metal Rear Solid.
The pussy pain. That's like, what? The pussy pain?
Let's see.
Unless you're hanging out in front of a Home Depot.
Score check. Paul's got 1,400. Matt's got 600. I've got 0. I got to go big. I'm going movie porn for 800. Which the following is based on the real movie, The Da Vinci Load, which is great, but it's no Diddle Her on the Roof.
Diddle Her on the Roof.
Diddle Her on the Roof.
It's technically a musical than more movie.
Man, I want it to be Diddle Her on the Roof so bad.
Let
I gotta
me
go
fuck
Da Vinci
this bitch,
load,
man. Yeah, da 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 da. If
I'm going
Da
Vinci Load, it is Da Vinci Load.
Congratulations.
I wanted to diddle her on the roof so bad.
Gotta fuck a bitch, man.
You got TV porn or movie porn?
I will do TV porn, please.
Let's see here. Daily Devil! Which of the following is based on TV? Whose Dick Is It Anyway? Or Big Bang, The Fornication Fallacy?
Wow.
Man, that subtitle is bonkers.
Yeah.
The Fornication Fallacy seems weird.
That is.
But I gotta think there's no Whose Line porn out there.
I don't know.
You don't think, what was his name? Clive?
Yeah, Clive Owen.
And Drew Carey.
Colin Mockery to fucking run train on them.
Again.
Aisha Tyler and Wayne Brady sex that show up.
That's true. I'm still gonna go with the Big Bang.
All right. It is the Big Bang, the Fornication Fallacy.
Yeah.
Paul, you got movie porn for 400 or 600.
600,
you're currently
please.
In the lead. You have 1,400 points. The Matt's 1,200.
Yeah, I'm
You're
close.
Going 600.
Yes, please.
Which of the following based on a movie? Full Metal Jackoff or Ocean's 11 Inches?
Oh, God damn it.
Both are layups.
But Full Metal Jackoff is It's too disturbing a film to parody, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm going Ocean's 11 Inches. 2, please.
All right. Yeah. It is Ocean's 11 Inches.
Let
the record show that Paul Mattingly really knows his pornography.
Yeah.
I'm closing out the category and the game. Movies for porn, 2 for 400. This is so I can tie Matt Donnelly if I get this right.
All right.
Which of the following is a real porn based on a movie? Bukkake to the Future or You've Got Mail,
M-A-L-E.
I mean,
both are plausible.
Both solid.
Do you think the characters were called Cock and Farty?
I'm going to go Bukkake to the Future, and I'll tell you why. Because I think You've Got Mail, M-A-L-E, is too much of a wordplay.
Right.
For the porn industry.
Too clever.
Yeah,
unless it's an all gay porn.
Even then. Even then, I think that's too clever. So I'm going Bukkake to the Future. It's You've Got Mail.
I bet You've Got Mail is a series.
I bet it is. That's the game. Paul wins the pornography battle with 2,000 points to no one's surprise. Matt's in second with 1,200. I'm in third with 400. And that is from Scooperintendent. Thank you so much, Scooperintendent.
If you want to send us a
Price is Scrite Jock versus Nerd. Send us an Obelisk Jock versus Nerd. You can do all those things over at HeyScoops.com right there on the homepage. Click the button. Make us some Jock versus Nerds. We could really use them and would appreciate them.
All right. We normally would thanks to patrons right here, but we were recording here at the beginning of the month of May. We're actually at the end of the month of April.
Yeah.
But my trip to New York is making us record ahead of time.
That's right.
So normally we thank a bunch of patrons right here because you're the people that keep this going for over 10 years. This is 1,100 episodes. There's no way our wives would want us to do this.
No.
Unless we could just pay the bills. It also helps us pay for things like Scoop Fest and other events that we do. We offer all kinds of cool stickers and other things that we mail to you, mm-hmm. including Paul's artwork and things like that. And that's all possible because of the support. And it's done as a thank you for the support of people who make this show go. So if you want to help us function, you want to help our community function, head over to PreachingFun.com right now. Go!
Come visit PreachingFun.com.
Run like the wind. Or type like the wind.
It's better than hanging with your mom.
And if after seeing that Scooperty, you like Paul Mattingly, or just thinking to yourself, man, I got to get more physical media, head on over to fartsinabag.biz.
Farts, 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 farts in a bag.
That is fartsinabag.biz. That, along with preachingfun.com, it takes you over to our Patreon page, where for as little as $2 a month, you can help keep the lights on here in the churn. You can help keep the lights on this show. The lights, of course, metaphorically meaning we keep making the show.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. No. And we are. We're going to keep making.
Yeah, yeah. We're doing it. Look at us go.
I want to thank you, gentlemen. 1,100 episodes. We did it.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Paul, for 1,100 episodes. And thank you to everybody who listens. Because
we've done so many episodes that doing 100 used to be a big landmark, and now it feels weird to celebrate that we're doing 1,100 episodes.
Yeah.
It feels small.
What was that? Who was our first guest on the 100th episode? Was that
on the 100th?
Was that Penn?
Penn was 200, I think.
Penn was 200, okay.
Yeah.
We might not have had a big guest on 100.
I think we breezed by and didn't realize it, right?
That's very possible.
That sounds like us.
I think that's what happened. I think that's exactly what happened. Then we went, oh, for 200, we better do something.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
And if you've been sick with us through 1,100 episodes, thank you so much. We really appreciate you guys out there.
If you're a new listener and you're intimidated by the back catalog, don't worry about it. Don't feel like you need to go listen to all of them. Don't sweat it.
It's all gold. It's all gold. Go dive.
Agree to disagree.
Go digging for gems, guys.
Yeah. But we thank you guys for listening to us week after week. And take care of yourselves out there. We love you. And we'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Penn. Great podcast.
Thanks, Penn. Yes. Back through the episodes.
There's still time to get those tickets for Scoop Fest. Just show up in Vegas, pay us, hang out with all the cool scoops. It's going to be an amazing time.
Get a discount.
Yep.
We're preaching fun! Yeah, Penn Jillette was on episode 200. Episode 100, Matt wasn't even on the show.
Telling you, that's what happened. We just totally...
Matt's off and leaves Paul in a room alone with Jacob, and apparently we talked about our favorite SNL bits.
Oh, that makes sense, because I know when my son's birthday is, and he was born in that first chunk.
So, oh, that makes sense. Yeah,
I was still out because of the birth of my second son.
Yeah, there mm-hmm. you go.
Yep, phoned it in.
Look at us go. We love you, everybody. See you soon. Bye.
We'll see you soon.
Did you do that already?
I did. That's the wrong button.
1,000 episodes, everybody. 1,100 episodes. Quality. Quality.